just when he thought it was safe, those crazy Republicans are at it again. It's time for the Rick Smith Show's Conservative Alert.
Well, the blame game continues. And you got to love this one. This one fits perfectly into the Trump conspiracy world. Not only do you get to blame someone else, not only do you get to blame the liberal elite media, but you get to blame a Mexican on top of it. This is like the ultimate threefer. But evidently, you know, the Trump folks and Donald, they're going to claim all of the groping allegations, all of that stuff, all of the reporting on it is the fault of one guy. And it's a fat guy named Slim. Evidently, Carlos Slim is the target of the Trump rage. And for those who know, Carlos Slim is probably one of the richest guys in the world, owns most of Mexico's telecom industry, also owns a good, the largest individual shareholder of the New York Times. So it's no longer going to be the New York Times he's going after. Going to go after that Mexican. Yeah. And I'll bet you it plays. Anyway, here to talk a little bit about where we're going this campaign season and how crazy things have gotten. I've asked Bill Scheer, online editor over at ourfuture.org. Bill, thanks for taking time for us.
Always a pleasure.
So you got to love this story. I mean, let's blame that guy because I think it fits a bunch of molds. It's a rich guy. It's a liberal guy, and it's a Mexican. How much greater could that be for conspiracy?
Well, it's great for his base, but, you know, we're in the middle of October. He's losing by, I'd say, at least 5 points in most general election polls. He needs to win supporters outside of his base and to sort of just to harp on this is all a big, evil Mexican conspiracy. I don't think that's the path towards capturing the swing vote.
Yeah, so you don't think this is the October surprise?
if Trump thinks that he can deflect confirmation of what he said he did himself into a microphone, which is groping women, forcibly kissing them, and grabbing their genitals by blaming other people based on their nationality. I would say he's delusional, but I probably would assume deep down he knows he's going to lose. He's not really trying to win, and he's merely trying to cultivate his base of support for some media venture after this election is over. This is not the behavior of somebody who is trying to win an election.
Well, I got
to
be honest. I hope he has a plan because it just seems to me that everything is scattershot and it's whatever his deranged mind is popping out with at this moment. Because look, I don't think ever in his life has he ever had anyone tell him no. Has he ever had anyone, you know, throw things back at him that he's done? And, you know, earlier I talked about the fact that, you know, he didn't even let his people do opposition research, which you go, really? You don't want to know what your opponents are going to dig up and use against you? That's just, well, naive on one part, but insane on the other.
Well, it's hard to apply rational political analysis to him because you don't know if he's a rational human being. He's not behaving like one. So you have no idea if he's even thinking about this in calculated terms. He might just be purely operating on 100% id, because as you said, there's not a lot of evidence that he has checks and filters in his life, in his business, in his social circles, or what have you. He just does what he wants to do all the time, which is, of course, the exact kind of behavior that he's being scurried for right now. So I think we're in a situation where we know who's going to win the presidency. The question really is, how big is the margin going to be? Does he drag down Republicans in the House and Senate? And can the margin of victory be large enough that it becomes a very clear repudiation of this kind of misogynistic behavior and racially divisive behavior.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing, because I was just going to say, you know, the fact I've seen polls 5, I've seen polls Hillary up 7, I saw one 9. You know, the fact that, you know, it could be as close as 5 points after the last couple of debates, after all of this stuff coming out, just to me says, what is it with us as a country that, you know, we're not willing to go, no.
Well, it's going to be hard to know. I mean, you know, polls are polls. Sometimes the polls are right on the money. Sometimes they're off by a little bit. You know, last election, the polls showed kind of a dead heat. Obama a little bit ahead, and then Obama did several points better than the poll suggested because of the people's models didn't think that the young vote and the people of color turnout would be as robust as it was. But this election, you know, assuming Clinton's up by 5-6 points the whole rest of the way, we haven't had an election like that in a long time when it was very clear-cut who was going to win. You know, Obama's margin over McCain was pretty solid, but people thought maybe the polls would be off because people were, the racist voters weren't telling the pollsters the truth, and it ended up actually not being true. The polls were quite accurate in 2008. But this time around, I think everyone's going to know, going to the booth on election day, who the president's going to be. How does that affect turnout?
Yeah.
Do Democrats get complacent? Do Republicans, are they resigned and they stay home, which could hurt them down ballot? Is there a shift to the third parties because people want to register a protest vote, feeling like they can safely without upending the election? That kind of psychological last minute psychology, the polls aren't going to tell you. And so that lends us a degree of uncertainty about how the outcome is going to be.
Well, I've got a friend who agrees completely with you. He believes Trump is actually winning and that there are a bunch of racist a-holes out there like him who are going to go to the polls who have never gone before. And there's this thought that, especially here in Pennsylvania, that there are a large segment of the population who's never voted. They're completely off the grid and the pollsters don't know who they are. And they're going to be surprised come November 8th, which you go, maybe, but I seriously doubt it.
Well, I doubt it for two reasons. Number one, people said that in 2008 and 2012 about Obama. And you know, the first time the polls were accurate, the second time Obama did better than the polls. So I don't see that as evidence,
right,
as people who have racist feelings aren't telling pollsters the truth. Now, let's say Trump really has a hammer lock on that part of the country, and he's going to pull out new voters who normally are so disgusted with politics they don't show up, and he's going to do better in that demographic than the poll suggests. Maybe, but I would also think there is a counter effect of people who are so disgusted by Trump that they might not normally vote, and they're going to come out to make sure Trump loses. I mean, the Trump people love to say that he won the Republican primary with the most votes ever from a Republican primary candidate. That's true. He also lost the most votes of any Republican running for the Republican primary nomination because he's a very polarizing candidate.
Right.
And in a multi-person primary, you can win with less than 50%, which he did. So I don't see why you should assume that the wave that the Trump nation is so large that it could overwhelm all of the Trump backlash that we see in our faces. Republican politicians say they won't vote for him. New Republican editorial board is not supporting him. Why would this all be upended by one faction of the country showing up, everyone else staying home? I don't see it.
Yeah, I'm with you. But you know, we've got a Republican legislator here in Pennsylvania, Tara Tuhill, who she came out after the tapes came out and after all of these allegations. She believed it was her moral obligation to now, after the fact, after you know all this other stuff, to now endorse Donald Trump. It was her moral obligation because it was her view that, you know, it's a man's world and, you know, it's a power room and he's the guy. And I'm going, now you choose to come out? And I'm going, you know, political opportunism or just crazy, I don't know. But either way, both are bad.
Yeah, I saw this Kurt Schilling interview yesterday.
Yeah.
You know, Kurt Schilling, he's in my state. I'm in Massachusetts. He said he wants to run against Elizabeth Warren. for Senate and maybe even run for president someday.
There you go.
And he decides to make his big splash by defending the Trump comment that he saw a 10-year-old girl and said, I'm going to date her in 10 years. You pick that moment to really stick your neck out and say, this is the political point that I really have to make to the world. That just sort of defies basic logic, but I think you have a situation where, and this is sort of the Fox News problem, that they've created this alternative universe where that kind of behavior is shrugged off as politically incorrect, and if you point that out, you will be rewarded for speaking truth to power, where the vast majority of the country says that's not politically incorrect. That's criminal behavior.
Yep, that's me. Well, it's me going. My 10-year-old daughter, I'm going to beat you to a pulp. And I know that's not politically correct either. But you know, you touch my 10-year-old daughter, it's over for you. And then the thing is you know, and I've been talking about this all week. The reality is Sunday night, you know, I'm in New York City because, you know, the whole family went to the Statue of Liberty, did all that stuff. And I did some stuff on Monday with Sirius. And, you know, I'm in this hotel room with my three kids. I've got an 8 and a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old daughter. And the 8 and 10-year-old are glued to the TV for the first couple of minutes. And I'm sitting here, you know, having to apologize to my children for them having to see what's on TV and having to explain to my 8-year-old daughter what locker room talk is. And how insane is it that we have to, that as parents, I now got to go, sorry, you can't watch a presidential debate.
I mean, one of the strongest Hillary Clinton ads has been the role model ad where you see kids on TV watching Trump say various hateful things. And I think that strikes a chord with a lot of parents, even Republican-leaning parents. You've seen, you know, particularly in Pennsylvania, you're seeing those Philly suburban numbers, Philly suburban women, those numbers for Trump have completely tanked. And one of the reasons why every single Pennsylvania poll is a pretty solid Clinton lead has been those Philly suburbs, which have long been, you know, Republican moderate.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Those are the voters that he's been losing.
And I guess the whole grab him by the pee thing just kind of took off on its own. And again, I've got to explain this to my 8-year-old daughter that's wholly unacceptable behavior. And if anyone does that, you got to come and tell me or tell somebody. And I'm going, should I really be having to have this conversation with my 8-year-old?
Especially about someone who is a politician,
yeah.
Supposed to be looked up to as a leader. You know, Kelly Ayotte in New Hampshire got burned the most. Because a few days before all this, she was asked in a debate, is Trump a role model? And she tried to dance around it a little bit, but then kind of coughed up absolutely. And she hasn't been able to, she disavowed it ever since, and that's just a vote for him, but it's on the tape. So she was asked about it point blank. So you can understand why asked that debate on the spot, you don't want to say someone who is a presidential nominee isn't a role model, but all these Republicans should have looked a few steps ahead and said, this is not your normal presidential candidate. You don't want to go down with this ship.
Yeah. So the question that I have in the last line of questioning I got for you, since you brought up her in New Hampshire, here in Pennsylvania, Pat Toomey is in trouble as well because he hasn't disavowed the Trump. He hasn't endorsed him either, but he hasn't came out against him. Do the Democrats take the Senate, and do they have a shot in the House? I mean, there's some people who say, oh, yeah, I don't know, but I'm curious your thought.
I mean, you can't call it a slam dunk, either House or Senate. I think the Senate looks pretty good right now, but the polling evidence is not as crystal clear as the presidential polling. You know, there are I think Toomey is down in more polls than not, but it's not across the board.
Right.
And New Hampshire polls are also pretty tight. You also have a tight race in North Carolina. You have a newly tight races in Indiana and Missouri. And you have some long shot races for Democrats in Arizona. Some people have an outside thought of Georgia, you know, but those would be real reaches. And that Republican turnout is the big wild card here. Are they going to show up or not? Are they going to say, I'm so disgusted with everything, Trump is an abomination for my party? I mean, it doesn't have to be a lot of that. This is the majority of them. Just if there's a chunk of them that do that, that could really tilt a close race. So it's hard to say right now if that's the case. But I would say for the Democrats, that looks pretty good. The House, I think you'd need to have a real turnout collapse to truly take back the House. They'll probably gain seats, but actually winning it would have to require something really calamitous for Republicans.
Well, we still have a couple more weeks, and I'm sure there are a lot more tapes out there. I'm sure, because I think he set himself up on Sunday when he said he never actually did any of those things. He just said it, as we now see a bunch of allegations coming out. And I'm looking forward to more weeks of misdeeds and, of course, really great conspiracy theory.
Well, I'll be happy to discuss them with you in the near future.
Look forward to it. Bill, appreciate the time, man.
Take care.
Thanks so much, Bill Scheer, online editor over at ourfuture.org. You want to take a look at the site? We got a look at the ricksmithshow.com. Quick break, right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Can you stand it? Oh, tell me how you can. Will you be a lousy scab or will you be a man? Which side are you on? Which side?